Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. For the last few weeks, we've been savoring the story of Jesus' birth. And Luke's telling of the story begins with the angel of the Lord visiting Mary to tell her that she's going to have a baby. We heard Mary sing of God's faithfulness. The Holy Spirit filled Elizabeth and Zechariah. And then just a few days ago, on Christmas Eve, we read that the angel of the Lord appeared on the night that Jesus was born with a heavenly host, lots of other angels, bringing good news of great joy to the shepherds. A Savior has been born to you, they said. He is the Messiah. And this morning, we're going to look at what happened just a few weeks after Jesus was born. And our text for today begins in Luke chapter 2, verse 21. Here's what it says. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. And when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. So some context helps us understand what's happening here. The law at the time required that a Jewish woman offer a sacrifice at the temple in Jerusalem 40 days after she gave birth. The sacrifice was required for the ritual cleansing of childbirth. It was also required under similar law that a Jewish family give a small sum of money upon the birth of their firstborn son. And so all of this is in place and expected of Jesus's parents. So Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth to the temple in Jerusalem. They're first-time parents traveling with a baby that's just a few weeks old into the center location of Jewish life. It's a big deal. I remember bringing each of my babies to church for the first time. I didn't have to go nearly as far as Mary, but our 10-minute drive still felt like a road trip in and of itself. I was tired and vulnerable and still learning how to care for this little person. And so walking into a room full of people was overwhelming. I remember walking in with each baby looking for someone who I knew. And when Mary and Joseph entered the temple, they found two people were waiting for them, Simeon and Anna. And in Luke 2:25, tells us a little bit more about Simeon and Anna. It says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents," this is Mary and Joseph, "brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.' The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. And coming up to them," so this is Mary and Joseph, Simeon and Jesus, "at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Israel." Simeon and Anna, these faithfully devout, wise elders are standing in front of Mary and Joseph, these young, brand new parents. And the baby, they're all looking at and talking about bridges the generations they represent. They're standing in the middle of the temple holding the Savior of the world. This is a holy moment of great significance. And we know that Mary and Joseph had a reference for who Jesus was and the impact his life was going to have in the world. They were Jewish and part of the generations of the people of God who were actively waiting and holding on to God's promises for deliverance. But Simeon says two things about Jesus, about their baby in this encounter that amaze Mary and Joseph and orient them to Jesus' mission in the world. Two things that are meant to shape our view of who Jesus is and what his life is going to be like. And the first thing that Simeon says is that the salvation of Jesus is for everyone. He says, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Jesus is not just for the people who've been waiting for him. Jesus is for everyone, Jews and Gentiles, Israel and the Roman Empire, the devout and the lapsed, those in the temple and those outside its walls. Everyone is invited near to Jesus and into the kingdom of God. This is the radical welcome and love of God embodied in Jesus. And Simeon says that Jesus' salvation is a light of revelation for the Gentiles, which means Jesus will reveal himself to those who don't have generations of history and context pulsing through their stories and their songs and their prayers. In fact, Jesus will offer the same salvation and life to the Gentiles that he does to Israel. And for Israel, for the ones who've been oppressed and abused, Jesus is their glory. He has come to free and redeem, to heal and to provide and to protect. Jesus is the Messiah they've been waiting for. Jesus is for me and for you. He's for every person on our blocks and in our families, at our jobs, in our city and country and the world. And I love that about Jesus. I love that Jesus is for all people. But what I'm aware of is that I'm usually only paying attention to and celebrating how Jesus is good news for me. That is the good news I'm most aware of. That's the good news I most often give thanks for. In many ways, the good news of great joy for all people has become privatized almost. It's like how we scan presents under the tree for our name, right? There can be like 20 presents there, but we don't actually usually experience joy or gratitude or excitement until we see our name. But once we see our name on a package, well, then we begin to celebrate. But what if the wonder and awe and celebration happened when we saw the collection of presents rather than just ours? What if we helped pass out the presents with joy and confidence that the giver of good gifts brought one for everyone? What does it look like for you to celebrate and share the good news of Jesus' birth, not just because it's good news for you, but because it's good news for everyone? Jesus is for all people. And after Simeon declares this, and Mary and Joseph marvel at this incredible reality of who Jesus is, Simeon then blesses Mary and Joseph, and he says, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Jesus and those who love him will experience conflict and suffering. Jesus' life in the world is not going to be easy. And as salvation comes into the world, what Simeon is pointing to is that there is going to be conflict. Opposition will develop. Jesus is going to challenge power and ritual. He's going to ask questions and he's going to probe about people's intentions. Jesus is going to love and heal and provide, and that radical life is going to upend status and ways of being. And the deliverance and revolution that comes with the kingdom of God through Jesus is going to get some pushback from people and from evil. Opposition and resistance to Jesus often means suffering for those who love Jesus. You know, when I hear Simeon's words to Mary, that a sword is going to pierce her heart, I think about the moment that we're going to read just before Easter Sunday, where Mary will stand at the foot of the cross and watch her son be crucified, her baby, the one she carried in her womb and delivered and nurtured, is going to be mocked and humiliated and murdered. The road ahead for Jesus and for his parents and for the ones who will come to love Jesus will be hard. And you know, Simeon isn't trying to deter or even caution Mary, right? He's saying this to fortify her, to support her, to acknowledge Mary's role in the story of God. Because there's something oddly grounding when you learn that the thing you've given yourself to is going to be hard sometimes. It's what we say to like nurses and teachers and firemen at their graduation ceremonies. We say something to the effect of, this is good work that's going to break your heart sometimes. And we know that Mary stores up moments like these in her heart. That's what Mary did when the shepherds came to visit Jesus. And so I imagine something similar has happened when an old man who loves God blesses her as a young mother and then says to her with compassion, it's going to get hard. The story of Jesus in the world is one of love and redemption, even when it's hard and even when it hurts. You know, Simeon and Anna have the same response to seeing Jesus in the temple that day. Both of them praise the Lord. Simeon sings and Anna gives thanks. And there's still so much that's still to come in the life and ministry of Jesus. That's what we're going to continue to read and learn from Luke's account in the new year. But even here, just 40 days after Jesus is born, we see the people of God give thanks that salvation has come. People have been waiting their entire lives for this moment. They burst into praise and thanksgiving at the sight of baby Jesus. And even though the road ahead will include suffering, God's promises have been fulfilled. There's an invitation for us here to praise God and recognize his faithfulness to us as we wait right here in the middle of the temple, in the middle of the courts. You know, 2020 has been and continues to be extraordinarily difficult in so many ways. And in the midst of our weariness in this difficult year, we've been welcomed into Advent, invited to reorient our hearts towards Jesus. And so sometime today or tomorrow, or certainly before the year ends here in the next few days, I wonder if you can find some quiet. Maybe you can find it in one of the spiritual practices we talked about this fall. And when you find that quiet space with Jesus, if it's in Sabbath or scripture reading or prayer, offer praise, worship, thanksgiving. Let your voice be filled with the truth that Jesus has come for all people, and that even when it's hard, the goodness of God's kingdom is here and continues to spread with hope all throughout the world.